Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the program. Sterling Holmes filling in for Seren Petro and Curtis Siebold. But the guest stays the same. David Leske into the crown joining us. By the way, Leske's in studio and he's looking outstanding. I don't know who has bigger forearms and biceps right now, you or Alex Gordon.
He was actually at the game when they honored Kane.
Yeah.
What was that, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago? It's him.
Still?
Yeah. My God. I'm sure he had a piece of pizza or something. I don't know. But
well, I know it's him. I was just trying to give you a nice compliment. I wasn't being serious. Alex Gordon is yoked out of his mind.
First of all, it's me. No, he... that guy, he's older than me. I mean, I know he's a professional athlete. Not anymore, but he still is, you know. I don't know how he... It's insane. It's impressive.
You know from Step Brothers, when he lifts up his shirt,
yeah,
and he's like, I've never had a carb in 12 years?
Yeah.
That's Alex Gordon.
Well, I think he had a...
A carb.
I think he... Well, maybe two. He's been retired 2 years now.
Yeah.
So
he gets a carb a year. It's like he eats one pistachio, and that's what he gets.
Right, and he's good to go, and he's all set. And it powers his workouts.
Mm.
So that's what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, just really quickly, completely off topic, we will talk Royals. I promise you.
Is this all Alex Gordon's biceps?
No.
Okay.
But it's about working out.
Okay.
I told my mom I was doing this new thing. I'm doing 60 push-ups a day,
okay,
60 sit-ups a day, and 60 squats a day, right?
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of myself. I've been on top of it. I've been doing this. Feeling pretty good about myself.
You look wonderful.
Thank you.
I
was fishing for compliments.
I gave you one.
I was hoping for one back. Didn't get it. It's okay.
I wasn't going to, but
fine. So I told my mom, and I was like, hey, this is a good workout if you want to try it. She's like, oh, I do 100 sit-ups a day. I go, you do 100 sit-ups a day? I'm like, in a row? She's like, oh, yeah, you don't do your 60 in a row? I'm like, I'm getting shown up by my 66-year-old mom. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and I just get that dropped on me.
Yeah. I mean, look, step it up, man.
Yeah, I
feel weak. There is a... I did this for a while, and then I hurt my shoulder. I hurt my shoulder, and then it started hurting again.
Sure.
Is what happened. Anytime I left my office, go to the bathroom, get a drink, get a snack, if you walk back in, 15 push-ups. Every time.
Mm.
I was doing that for like 3 weeks. Felt great. I don't know what made me stop it, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I was doing that. Got on the floor, shoulder, like 3 push-ups, and I'm like, oh, I'm done.
That's why I stopped.
That's enough.
Three weeks was good.
3 weeks was good.
Yeah, see, you get on these kicks, and you go, I'm not a professional athlete.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm 29. I'm no longer a prospect.
I'm not 29. I'm 22.
You're still a prospect. Yeah.
Still a prospect.
Yeah, Leske, you're still 22, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Something like that.
All right, speaking of young dudes, Bobby Witt Jr. is starting to pick it up with the bat. Triple shy of the cycle the other day, but he, instead of a triple, hit another bomb.
But two feet shorter, he gets the triple.
Yeah, but you can't be mad. My fantasy baseball team needed it because that was actually the clincher for me. So I'm not upset by it.
That's a really good comparison, actually, to today's game, which, not to totally steal your thunder, but you look at, okay, Bobby Witt Jr. didn't get the cycle but got a home run. Today the Royals could have had a perfect game. Still got a shutout win. Like, I guess shutout win is redundant because if you get a shutout, you win. But it's interesting the things that we look at and go, I wish that he could have done this a little differently, even though the result was still great. You know, but yeah, he's looked. He's better. He's looked better.
Yeah,
it's not like he's fixed.
No.
Some of it I think is. I think it's just who he is, right? He swings too much. He has too much swing and miss in his game in general. So I think there's always like this level that if and until he stops doing these things, it won't change. But I also think that he's just going through a slump, a bad stretch right now that was magnified by the leadoff spot, and he's no longer in there, which is great. I think that's a good decision. But he look, he still struggles with some pitches. He's still struggling with the high fastball right now. He still swings and misses too much. He still chases too much, all that stuff. But that said, he's so talented that he can power through it with this sheer talent. At some point, he's got to do better than just let the talent live on.
Just the flashes.
But at least, you know, it's not like, I hesitate to even say a name because it's not fair to say somebody else is less talented. Nicky Lopez he's a fine baseball player. 4 hits today. Really nice day. Nicky Lopez doesn't have the talent to shine through approach issues. You know, he doesn't have the talent to shine through the fact that he swings and misses way too. He doesn't. But, like, he's Bobby Witt Jr. could put up numbers in his sleep because he's so darn talented. And, you know, other guys can't do that. And eventually you got to back it up with the rest of the world.
What's interesting with Bobby Witt Jr. is I think you look at some of the counting numbers and you get so entranced by them, right? Like you see 15 stolen bases and now he's up to 10 home runs and you're seeing all these things. Well, a 30-40 season and who's done this and who hasn't done this.
Right. But then you look at his age, too.
It's very impressive. So then you get excited, but then you look at the overall numbers and nothing against Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena's had a very good early career for the Houston Astros.
Almost identical as Witt.
Well, that's what I'm looking up right now.
I figured you were.
But what makes it so interesting to me is he can't be Jeremy Pena.
No.
Bobby Witt Jr. has to be more than Jeremy. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but think of where Jeremy Pena is on the list of Houston Astros and their list of players. Yeah. He is behind Altuve right now, Kyle Tucker. He's behind Alex Bregman. He's behind Yordan Alvarez. He's behind, this is off the top of my head, I'm trying to just think of other.
Brantley's not playing,
Brantley not there anymore, but.
He's there. He's just not playing.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's fifth, sixth on the position player side, right? And right now, Bobby Witt Jr. is tasked to be one. Or maybe two, if you say Salvador Perez.
Three at bat. I mean, because you could say Vinny, maybe.
Maybe.
So, offensively at least. But yeah, you're right. You're right that if Bobby Witt Jr. is Jeremy Pena's equal, then either Jeremy Pena has had a well above expectations career, or Bobby Witt Jr. is well below expectations. It's not a knock on Pena. But you're absolutely right. I remember during the playoffs last year when Pena was just going off.
Yeah.
And he won the ALCS MVP, and he won the World Series MVP too, right?
Yeah.
It was both, yeah. I tweeted something about the comparison of their numbers. Last year, they were almost identical. Pena was the better defender.
Yeah, if you look at wins above replacement right now, 6.3 in 719 at-bats for Pena, 1.3, so five wins more for Pena.
But if you look at this year, they've been similar defenders.
You have this year, you have Bobby Witt Jr. as .5. I'm on Baseball Reference.
Oh, I don't love the Baseball Reference war.
Okay.
I use Fangraphs for war.
Sure.
It doesn't. There's an inherent flaw in the stat when multiple sites have drastically different numbers, so it's hard to necessarily use that. But yeah, I mean, I think that defensively, Bobby Witt Jr. has closed the gap quite a bit, which makes them basically the same player.
It's really funny. If you look at their numbers, they are both guys. They don't like to walk. Both guys, decent amount of swing and miss in their game. Right now, you have 8 home runs for Jeremy Pena, slugging 439 for Pena. You have 427 slugging for Bobby Witt Jr.,
which is actually a little bit higher
because of the home run today.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at up-to-date stats right now, and, 244, 292, 433 for Pena, which is, what is he, 99 weighted runs created plus, but this is great radio.
This is outstanding.
Defensive value, so Fangraphs has a defensive rating. Pena's at 1.3, which is above average, obviously. Average is zero. Bobby Witt Jr. is... I should have brought my laptop and not just scrolled on my phone.
Yeah, it's great.
5.3.
Wow. So Bobby Witt Jr. has been much better defensively this year.
Yeah, and his up-to-date stats, 232, 270, 438. I mean, he's been worse because of the on-base percentage, But you're right. If he's Jeremy Pena, it's a disappointment. It's either a disappointment for Witt or a huge excitement for the Pena family. And it's funny. They're both sons of big leaguers. You know, they both have the history, the pedigree, all that. But, it's like I said, at some point, it can't just be the talent breaking through the bad. It's got to be the bad's got to turn to good. Because if it does, if he could ever figure out, okay, I'm going to swing at 28% of pitches outside the zone. It's not that he's sitting there going like, I'm going to swing at pitches outside the zone. But if he could knock that percentage that he swings at pitches outside the zone down from, I think it's like 33, 34 to 28, if he can make a little more contact, if he can, you know, I don't know the exact numbers there, but if he can up everything by like 2 or 3% even, all of a sudden you're looking at a guy who, I mean, he's probably 280, 340, 510, with now good defense apparently at shortstop. Yeah. I mean, that's Carlos Correa.
Well, not this year Correa.
Well, but in general, and people, I think there's a misconception about how good Carlos Correa has been in his career. He's been a good player. I don't think he's been as good as people realize. I think he's been less good than people think he's been.
Sure.
But also better than some people realize in some ways. It's kind of a weird. But yeah, that's what he would end up being. And then you live up to that billing.
Well, David Lesky, Into the Crown, joining us right here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. When it comes down to it, though, this is a Bobby Witt Jr. more than anything on base percentage issue, because you look at the overhaul. Salvador Perez is still the previous iteration and all that stuff.
Sure.
He is who he is at this point. Salvador's now
he's 33. He's not changing.
And guess what? It's worked for him.
Fine.
He's slugging .528. I think you're going to take his OPS above 800. You were going to take
all
that
day.
From a catcher who a position of not traditional high OPS numbers. But with Bobby Witt Jr., you look at it, on base percentage of .270, MJ Melendez is batting .210. Healy has an on base percentage of .303. Prado gets on base at a near .400 clip. Yeah. Vinny Pascantino, known for taking a walk. Of all the young guys who are being called up, it feels like the only guy who doesn't take walks is Bobby Witt Jr. Why do you think that is?
I have a few thoughts. I mean, just general theories. I don't know the answer. I think that sometimes organizations, and the Royals are not alone in this, they don't fix what's not broken.
Sure.
And Bobby Witt, up until last season, I mean, he had a 9.5% walk rate in the minors. You know, that's the minors. But even if you say, okay, well, that's going to be 7.5%, it hasn't even been that. And so I think that there's some level of, you know, we didn't think this was a problem or a big enough problem. I don't want to make the Royals... I'm not trying to be an apologist, but I just want to make them sound bad, because I don't think that they looked at Bobby Witt and said, oh, this is the guy. No fixes.
It wasn't like Ben Simmons, who couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
Because I work for the Sixers, and you could tell right away, this guy needs to learn how to shoot. And the Sixers are saying, well, it didn't matter in college or high school. He always
right.
down. And you're like, no.
And
he needs to learn.
I think that they looked at it and went, okay, he makes enough contact that when the 9.5 becomes 7 to 7.5, it'll still be fine. And it just hasn't translated. And so I think some of it is he struggled a lot with the high fastball. I think he's, my opinion, this is totally my opinion, not from anybody else, I'm guessing he has too many voices in his head.
Sure.
I think this happens a lot with young players. And I think it happens a lot with young, polite players. I have a hunch, again, this is totally.
My name is so close to Sherlock Holmes, so I will follow you on this hunch.
Yeah, go for it. I have a hunch that he is being told this by one person, that by one person, that by one person, and it needs to say, we're going to use one approach. We're going to look at, and he's trying 9 different things because 9 different people are telling him that. And it's kind of the opposite of what you hear about some of the stubborn players. He's willing to work.
Mm.
And the thing about Bobby Witt that I can't be out on him because of this is that he is a worker. He will work at his game. There are players in the past, I will not name them, everybody's heard the stories, they know, who didn't work, who were not willing to make adjustments, who said, what I do is right, and even though the numbers don't show it, it's not, I don't care. You know, there were some who played for the teams that won the teams went and won the World Series.
Yeah.
they were there. And there are probably players like that on this particular team. Bobby Witt's not one of those guys. I would like to see fewer voices for him. I think that this is just my 9 million miles away opinion. But I think that's probably part of the issue. It just, when you're trying so many things, it doesn't work. And, again, I'm going to go back to the same thing I said earlier. It's a testament to how talented he is that he's putting up. I mean, he's Fangraphs is at like 1 point. I closed already.
Sure.
1.1, 1.2 wins above replacement this year.
Yeah.
That's a 3.5 to 4 win player, which is not what he should have been. But for a guy with a 270 on base percentage to still be that much above, you know, average is around 2.
Sure.
Replacement's obviously 0. To be that much above average is very impressive. And I think that what we've seen, you know, I don't want to keep kicking the can down the road, but to see his defensive improvement from last year to this year shows that he can make these changes. And it, fielding a ball is different than hitting a ball, all that. But it shows that he's willing to do, he's working at things and he is making these changes. And I think that that's what has me, you know, hey, let's hang on here. Let's not get too upset over this, even though he should be better. He should be better than he is.
I'll move on from Bobby Witt Jr. just in one moment. Just last quick thing is, I think Royals fans also, we get a little frustrated because he's been fine. Again, we're not saying he's been bad necessarily, but then you see guys like, you know, Julio Rodriguez in his rookie year. This year has been a different story, but but he was so good his rookie year. You're seeing Nolan Gorman, right? Same draft, I believe.
No, he was the 18 draft.
18 draft. But you're seeing what he's doing this year. You're seeing everyone else have these guys, it feels like, come up and just crush it. And you're sitting here thinking, when was the last time a Royals top prospect came up and did that? It feels like it's been eons.
I think it's been a little under a year because it was Vinny Pasquantino. He's the guy. I mean, he did. He came up and he hit. I mean,
but
it took him like 2 weeks.
But would you say top prospect?
Royals top prospect,
he was, but he, I don't think he had the same.
He wasn't in the Adley Rutschman.
He wasn't the Adley Rutschman.
No. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm going towards. Like, Vinny Pasquantino's been out. Vinny's been great. I'm not taking anything away from him.
The two guys who have hit the ground running for the Royals in the last 15 years, Salvador Perez.
Yes.
Not a top prospect. Vinny Pasquantino. He was, I think he was number 3 on the Royals list when he came up. So, but you're right. He wasn't a top prospect.
Top 50.
Wasn't Eric Hosmer.
Yes.
It wasn't Mike Moustakas. It wasn't Mike Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Bubba Starling.
Yep.
It wasn't whoever. It wasn't any of these guys.
Ace Lacy, maybe.
Well, he's got a pitch before he can.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, until he throws a pitch for.
Do you have any update on him?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, he's throwing somewhere. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean. So, but yeah, you're right, and it's frustrating, and it's frustrating too. And you look at, I mean, Gavin Cross has struggled this year. Now, it's a different story. They're working on some things with him, and from what I've heard, it's some things that once he figures it out, he'll take off. And he's done a lot better recently. He had 5 home runs in 6 games. He was the player of the week down there. So I'm not worried about that yet. But you're right. At some point, these guys have got to come up and hit the ground running, and it can't be the Pasquantinos and Masseys, who has been great for a while.
That's actually where I was going next, was the secondary guys.
Yeah.
Not Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not going to say Salvador Perez because he's 30. I love Salvi, but he's not, hopefully not part of the, well, I guess hopefully maybe if he's DH. Who knows? He's not going
anywhere.
He's
not a
probably.
Young core piece.
Yes. And so Nick Prado, he was horrible last year.
Yeah.
Horrible to start this year. I mean, it was brutal. Now you're looking at it, and he's batting leadoff.
Yeah.
301, almost 400 on base.
It's working.
Power starting to come a little bit, still trailing a little bit, but you'll take
that's
that.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah, you're not upset by it. 3 hits again today, 3 for 6. Yeah. Pretty solid top of the lineup. And then Vinny Pasquantino, again, we've talked about him.
Yeah.
These secondary pieces are really starting to look nice. Michael Massey, if you want to say a tertiary piece.
Sure.
Because I think he's kind of a step down from MJ Melendez
Yes.
Pasquantino and Prado.
I go back, and I thought this was a I had a scout tell me in 2021 that Michael Massey is, the quote was, that Massey guy is a dude. Mm. And I was like, if Michael Massey is the Royals' third best hitter in 20, I mean, just in my head, I was thinking this, if he's the third best hitter in 2025, the Royals are a 70 win team.
Yeah.
And I still think that. But after the way the adjustments he's made to just stop swinging, I mean, this is the hope for Bobby Witt, honestly, to stop swinging at everything. He has been really good. Like, it's not just, oh, he's been better. No, he has been good. Like, he has been probably their third. I'd have to look. But if I had to guess, if you go back to, I don't know what even date would be right. Let's say May 1st, since the start,
sure,
of May.
Start of May.
I would guess Michael Massey among hitters with 35 or more plate appearances, 40, whatever, is probably their third best hitter. Actually, probably maybe better than that, because Pasquantino's had a rough May. Wait a minute, he's had a rough couple weeks.
Yeah.
The numbers have dropped. But, I mean, you've got Salvi at the top for sure. I'm trying to think. Prado is probably up there. And then Massey, maybe. I feel good with him at the plate. A month and a week ago, I wrote he needs to be sent down, and he did. Well, I don't know if he did, but he was playing so poorly that it was to the point that you go, I don't care about development at the big league level. I get it, but at some point, you can't be hitting 112 with a 122 on base percentage.
It was kind of Nate Eaton, where eventually, I don't care if we think you might have a role at some point. It ain't working.
You can't do it. And you can't, for a number of reasons. Like, for your psyche, for the team, for all this stuff. And they didn't, to their credit, send him down. He got three. That's when he had the three straight two-hit games. I think it started the series in Anaheim in late April. Mm. And so, I mean, I guess you could look back to, what is that, April 21st. Ooh, sorry.
It's okay. We've been smoking cigars in here because the Royals moved to 1738. Fun fact, 1738 was way more fun when the Royals were good, when it wasn't their actual record.
Yeah, that's not the best.
You know, when the Royals were, going to the World Series and winning, the whole slogan was 1738. That was great.
And now he's in prison.
Fetty Wap's in prison now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is he?
Drug-related charges.
The guy who sang about drugs?
That's right.
Went to... Huh.
Hard to believe. I know.
Surprisingly, I didn't really keep up a ton on my Fetty Wap. What is he up to these days?
I only knew it from Reddit.
You're a big Reddit guy, huh?
Yeah, I love Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit. Every time I end up on Reddit, I'm glad I went, but...
You should do
it. Never just go, you know what I'm going to look up today? What Fetty Wap is up to on Reddit.
It showed up on the Royals subreddit.
Even better.
So
that makes way more sense.
Yeah. But anyway, Massey, since April 21st, probably, he has been legitimately good. And he's played good defense. And I'm starting to look back on that conversation from 2021. And I'm like, is Michael Massey a dude? Is he? Maybe.
What's been interesting is with him playing better, I wonder if there's anything to where... Nicky Lopez is playing a lot better recently, too.
He's looked good since he came back, for sure.
And I wonder if it is, and maybe there's no correlation here, but you know whenever someone who also plays your position is starting all of a sudden rake, that makes you say two things. Either you crumble, or you go,
right.
I'm going to rake, too, because I know if I want to keep my job, and I think we would all agree the best long-term success for this team would be if Michael Massey is the bat. It translates better to today's baseball, right?
Yeah.
But Nicky Lopez is not just going to roll over. And I like the fact that, again, I've been hard on Nicky Lopez. I've said...
Chris, and you love Nicky Lopez.
I do like him as a bench bat. It's not always his fault.
You told me that he was going to win an MVP.
I said he was Chris Getz with a good eye.
I heard MVP. I don't know.
They're similar. Chris Getz with a good eye may have won MVP,
that's
too.
True. I mean,
it's a good possibility. But the point is, Nicky Lopez is looking like a legitimate, at this point, if he does this, even a second baseman, or a everyday rotational piece, a day off at short, day off at third, day off at second. I would love if he could play outfield,
which I don't understand why they've never tried that.
Because
he seems like
quick
a
enough,
perfect
great
fit.
Reaction.
Yeah. He's got a good enough arm.
Yeah.
But the infield defense with Garcia at third, Lopez at third, Witt playing much better shortstop, Massey at second, Lopez at second, Garcia at second, some. Yeah. Pascal Chino's been a pretty good defender at first. Prado's a really good defender. The numbers haven't shown that this year.
But they were known as a gold glove prospect in the minors.
He's a good first baseman. That infield defense has been night and day from earlier this year. And I think Massey was taking some plate struggles out to the field, which, look, he's a young guy. That happens. I say this so often. I'd never been in a big league clubhouse until 2014. And being
good year
in
to do
there,
it, huh?
What'd you say?
Good year to do it.
It was a good year. Good year. I was actually the reason that they won.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, people don't know that.
Oh, fun fact.
Fun fact, they won because of me being
Let's add that to your intro.
Right. Talking to the guys, and I wasn't in there every day or anything, but a few times, the 2014, 15, and beyond, talking to the guys and realizing, oh, right, these are human beings. Mm. That's the biggest thing that I think it's hard to separate. But once you do, you're like, oh, I see why this happened. And I'm not saying it's excusable. You're making a lot of money for it to not happen. So I'm not going to not criticize you, but I also understand how you can be struggling at the plate and then make an error in the field.
Sure.
Because you're a human. And I think that, and there were some defensive issues for Massey earlier in the year. I still think there's some communication issues on the field. There were two, maybe three pop-ups today that should not have been as close to a collision as they were. They've had a couple of balls up the middle that have been issues. So the common denominator is Massey, so maybe there's some work to be done there. But the infield defense as a whole, and that includes Nicky Lopez, has been so much better. And now when you've got Drew Waters back in the outfield, and it seems like they're not really playing Ebert Olivares in left field too much anymore.
Well, I want to talk about Drew Waters in the outfield in general after this break. Before we go to the break, though, really quickly. So the Royals are outstanding, apparently, at finding backup catchers from Cam Gallagher to Drew Butera, who can bunt Freddie Fermin. Is the MJ Melendez catcher experiment, I wouldn't say over, but is he firmly now the third catcher?
Yeah.
Almost more emergency. I wouldn't say emergency, but you maybe see him once a week.
He might be emergency.
At this point?
Yeah. I mean,
Do you see that long term, or is that just for
I don't know if it's
right
long term. Here's the thing. I don't think he's a Royal long term.
No, we're going to break on that. I want to hear this one.
All right.
You don't think MJ Melendez is a Royal long term?
No.
Okay. Quick break, come back. David Leske, Inside the Crown, the program at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, yeah, the happy version of this song, the upbeat version of this song.
My wife and I, when we got married, this was the, what's it called, when you walk back down the aisle after the ceremony. We played this, the recessional?
I don't know.
Whatever, man. It is.
I went to a wedding this week, and I couldn't tell you. It was open bar.
You walk down the aisle or whatever. When we walked back down after the wedding, this is what we walked back down the aisle to.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Nice. I wouldn't know because I wasn't there. David Leske joining us. I don't think I knew you, actually. Inside the Crown.
I specifically sent an invitation to your house and said, please don't come.
And that'd be a smart move. It'd be a very smart move.
Yeah.
I am.
Still waiting on the gift, by the way.
Oh, you still want the gift. Oh, yes. So I don't go, but you still get the gift. My not showing and ruining your wedding was your gift.
We had a taco bar. So I'm going to need a gift for that.
Do you know how much I like tacos?
I do, and that's why I didn't invite
you. I thrive on tacos.
This was 4.5 years ago.
I didn't know.
You were 11 at that time.
12. I was going from middle school to high school at that point.
You were a wide-eyed eighth grader.
Yeah, wide-eyed. All right, so let's talk MJ Melendez. That was where we left off before break, was you said you don't think he's going to be a Royal long-term.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think back to the conversations early before the season. And there were a lot of questions being asked about extensions and all that, because we see the Braves do it, the Guardians have done all this. There was an article, I had to be Annie Rogers, because nobody else was writing about the team before, so I'm sure it was Annie, that they talked about guys they were talking to, and they mentioned a bunch of names, and they didn't mention MJ Melendez. Mm. He's a Boris client. How many Boris clients do they have on the team? I don't know the answer. It's not many. Boris clients don't. I mean, guys do sign extensions.
Sure,
they do because it's the player's decision. But generally, Boris clients don't. My feeling is based on that. Just talking to some people around too is that I don't know when it'll be. But I think at some point, MJ Melendez gets traded. I think he's part of a deal to bring back something else they need. And it makes sense because there's a big... The roster doesn't work the way it's set up.
Sure.
I mean, the way it works when... It can work. You can have Prado at first, Salvi behind the plate, Pasquantino DHing, and Melendez in right. And then when Salvi DHs, which is more and more, he's caught, like, what, 2 out of the last 6 days? Something like that? One of them was an off day, to be fair, but
sure.
Still, Prado plays left, all that. So it can work, but then you got guys coming up. You've got, we'll get into Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell will be back at some point and all this. Like there is extra talent that they can turn into talent in places they don't have. And I think Melendez is that guy. And so to answer the question from before the break of, is he a catcher? I don't think so for the Royals, but I don't know what an acquiring team would think.
Mm.
I don't know if he goes to the Yankees, do they say, oh, he's a part-time catcher?
Maybe. Sure.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they can fix some of his defensive issues. So that's, we'll see.
What does he bring back? Because I can't imagine at this point, we see some potential. We see some things we like. I mean, he hits the ball hard.
Yeah.
He takes walks and gets on base. But the underlying numbers have never necessarily shown up.
Yeah. He was a league average hitter last year, 99, right at 99 WRC yeah. plus. So, I mean, that's below average, but it's average
yeah.
for all intents and purposes. Right now, I don't know what he brings back. I don't know that he brings back enough. I don't think he gets moved at the deadline this year, for example. I tend to think guys, he'll have 5 years of control after the season. You don't see position players with 5 years of control getting traded at the deadline.
Sure.
Those tend to be more offseason moves. So he's got some time to rebuild the numbers. I mean, he had 2 walks today, I think.
2 walks today. Had a, yeah.
RBI triple. He's been walking a lot lately, so he's kind of back on that. His opposite field home run, the way they classify that, I don't think it was technically opposite field because it was in the center. But still, he went the other
if
way.
You're, okay, as a left-handed, I throw righty bat
to
lefty.
To the left of center?
No. To the left of anywhere that's directly right field is oppo for me.
Sure.
If I hit one to right center, that's an oppo taco for me in softball. That's as far left as you're getting.
I won't go that far, but... Yeah, I think that he's showing a lot of the stuff that we really liked from him last year. The average was low. He hit 217 last year, and this year he's, I don't know what he is, at
210.
After today?
210 today, but 303 on base percentage is what I'm looking at today.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not good enough. So at this point, as of right now, if they were to execute a trade this minute, it would be based on what MJ Melendez can be, which then that gets a little bit wonky on the return. I think if he can figure it out, if he can, let's say they have 107 games left now, because this was game one of the second third, 54, 54, 54. They had 54 after yesterday. Now they're game one of the next 54. If he can go in the next 107 games and hit 255, 360.
Yeah.
480. And play solid defense with 5 years of team control left and the ability to say, oh, we've got a third catcher now on this roster. He can bring back quite a bit, especially, maybe you pair him with Aroldis Chapman or Scott Barlow or Taylor Clark or any of these guys who should and probably will be moved.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at... You can bring back a real return for that, I think.
Before we talk about the bullpen, the pitchers, and potential trade candidates, I do want to talk about Drew Waters. He's obviously back now. Little bit of a mixed bag, right? Strikeout numbers aren't great, but
I think
him
he
back.
Was super anxious in those first two at-bats.
Yes. I
was at the game, and so you can't always see everything when you're at the game, right? It's from an analysis standpoint, it's better to watch on TV because you see the bigger picture. From the stands, I was like, oh, that he he's really excited to swing the bat.
Dude's amped.
He's ready to go. And then he got two hits after that. And he's looked okay. Made a really nice catch today. Saved the perfect game in the sixth, I think it was. It was the sixth. He's a good defender. He's another guy who will work a walk. He's going to swing and miss.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to strike out, but he has big power. There's a lot to like about his game. I don't know. This gets into a weird situation, but if he's your best outfielder, you might not be good. If he's your third best outfielder, you're probably pretty good.
I think if he's your third best outfielder, you're probably great. I mean, realistically, because
it depends on the rest of the team, sure.
I'm such a big fan of Drew Waters. I mean, I don't know if Kyle was here when he was traded to the Royals, which at the time, that's the first time they were able to trade that compensatory pick, right?
Yeah.
They were
the first to do it.
Yeah, I was ecstatic. I was running the hallways. I was like, yes, because I love Drew Waters. You're not getting that talent at that pick.
I think I was on with you that day.
Yeah, I think
you were. Or maybe the next day.
But I was thrilled. And I'm still way higher on him than Kyle Isbell. I understand Kyle Isbell's defense. But to me, I almost think you can either have Isbell or Nicky Lopez. I don't know if there's...
Every day. I think, look, Isbell works as a fourth outfielder.
Correct.
And it's not to get off Drew Waters here, but it's so upsetting for Isbell because he had just started to hit.
Yes.
He was.
I feel for the guy.
He had the home run. He put down a really nice bunt. The bunt was what hurt him. I feel really bad for
him.
You
hear that, kids? Don't bunt.
When was that? That was the Baltimore series. That was early May. They said 6 weeks. So he's probably a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
Which, hey, good problems to have. Good problems when guys start to come back.
And Jackie Brother Jr. is not like he's needs a roster spot.
And honestly, I actually love Jackie Bradley Jr. as the guy who comes in the eighth inning. The problem is this team doesn't need that guy right now.
He is still unreal defensively.
Outstanding.
I mean, it's unreal. Some of the plays he's made this year, you're just...
How? He's not even that fast anymore.
No! It's kind of like Alex Gordon to an extent, but sometimes Gordon maybe slid when he didn't need to slide.
Right.
Jackie Bradley Jr., when he lays out, he needs the layout, he still comes
down
with the ball.
He's an outstanding... I don't have any problem with him on a roster.
No.
I have a problem with him on this roster because I don't have a problem with him on this particular roster. But Isbell and Waters on the team with Melendez as a full-time outfielder, there's no room for, especially Nick Prado playing a lot of left field.
Yeah.
And Edward Oliver. So, which I know we're going to get to. But, I think that I don't think Drew Waters can be your best outfielder, and you are a good team outside. Those are not hard and fast. I mean, if you have four outstanding, turn into
Mike Trout, yeah,
right. Well, I mean, if you've got if Pasquantino, Massey, Witt, and whoever's playing third are all hitting like crazy, I don't care if Waters is your best outfielder, but if you've got on this particular team, Drew Waters, they need to find an outfielder better than Drew Waters.
There is a third base tree, that just so you know.
I think Ned cut it down before he left.
Ned cut it down before he left.
And took it to Georgia with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
So it put on his farm.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's growing. Still there.
Well, now there might be multiple third base trees at that point, but they're all at Ned Yost's farm.
But they're all off the grid. So who knows?
True, they're all off the grid, yeah.
We don't know where they are.
Mm. With Edward Olivares, what do you make of him at this point? Because he'll occasionally have the highlight, as you mentioned, that home run yesterday was it yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Was asinine.
Yes.
It was absurd, but there's no consistency.
Yeah.
And the overall track record of him with the bat is
fine.
Fine.
He's fine.
But that doesn't work as a DH. It doesn't work when you're playing, because he's a DH. Let's be frank. You can't put him in the outfield. He might be, I'm not trying to be mean, but he might be the worst fielding outfielder, consistent outfielder in baseball.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know for sure, but maybe.
I mean, it's like putting Nelson Cruz out
there. The funny thing is, and this goes back to, I think I said this with Saran a couple weeks ago, and he was like, wait, what? but I thought the Royals should have played Jorge Soler in center field.
Wait, what?
Exactly. Because this was different time. He was faster. When Jorge Soler came over, his sprint speed was like 28.3 feet per second or something. Yeah. He could move. Got hurt, all that stuff. But you look outfield, center field's the easiest position to play. because of the angles. The way the ball comes off the bat, it's a lot easier to read in center field.
I think you're also probably getting to, if you play softball, if you played baseball growing up, if you are a lefty and you hit the ball to left field, say you're going with the ball to left, you're going to see some crazy spin. If you are a lefty and you pull the ball with that top spin, you're going to see some crazy spin.
And you can't see this on the radio, obviously, but every ball curves toward the foul line. That's what
correct,
that's
yes.
But if you, in the center of the field, it doesn't. And so it's a little easier to play center field. Now, it's more difficult because there's so much more ground to cover. But if you have the speed to do it, I wonder a little bit if they moved Olivares out of center field too fast. I don't know that he has the speed anymore. Speed goes fast. But when
sure.
I mean, he's not slow. We've seen him run the bases.
Yeah.
He's a quick guy. I don't think it would work in center field. I really don't. But I almost wonder if it would work better there because of that. Because I think he, again, maybe not anymore, but he was fast enough to play the position.
Yeah.
I think he's got a decent enough arm to play the position. It's not going to work. But now at this point, he's not going back there. And so he doesn't, I mean, we saw it on, was it Friday that he misplayed that ball? Two balls. One of them was a misplay that, like, not every left fielder gets to. So, okay. Well, actually, both of them, not every, but he turned one into a triple. Like, just the way he played that was so poorly. And then I think it was it Friday also that the ball went off the top of the wall and he just kind of stood there? No, it was yesterday. It was
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah.
It was the double by Riley Adams, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the ball was just sitting next to him and the runner scored from first. He picks that ball up. They might get him at the plate. I don't know that they do, but things like that, just unacceptable.
Yeah.
And the bat isn't good enough to DH, like you said. It is at times when he's hot, but you can't predict it.
Mm-mm.
There's no rhyme or reason. I mean, I guess I'd have to dig in. There might be a certain type of pitcher that you say, okay, Olivares is going to hit this guy. We're going to DH him. I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with him DHing when the roster was, when Prado was in Omaha, guys were struggling, you know, all that stuff. But at this point, I don't know where the spot is. And it's hard to move on when you see that home run. Anytime you see...
Who was the guy in spring training that hit the bomb?
Sully Matias.
Yeah, Matias.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the same.
It's, I mean, Olivares is a better hitter than Matias, but...
Sure.
It's when you see what's possible... It makes it harder to move on. It would have been easier if he didn't hit that home run yesterday and the Royals sent him down after the game, or maybe they do send him down after the game, but he hits that home run. You go, okay, wait, hang on. This is what he can do. And it's, so it makes it difficult,
yeah.
But they have a logjam coming and it's not just with Isbell coming back. Tyler Gentry is in AAA. Nick Lofton might have to play a corner outfield.
He's been
Samad Taylor might need to. You know,
Nick Lofton's been phenomenal so far, correct, in the minors. At least he started off outstanding at some point.
Had a really good start, struggled, and he's been much better. I don't know.
Overall.
I haven't seen the last couple days. Okay. I've been a little out of pocket. But
yeah, you've been boozing, huh?
Yeah, you know it.
That's what the cough is. He's just been.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's not the six-month-old daughter in daycare.
So you're getting me sick.
Yeah.
Oh, outstanding.
Hey, double ear infection. She's fine. She's had 4.5 days of antibiotics. Don't worry, we're good.
But then why are you sick?
I have a cough. It's allergies.
That's how it starts.
It's allergies.
And that is how it starts. Let's take a quick break because we do have to take one more break. Quick break, come back. More Royals talk. David Leske, the program, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the program, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, Sterling Holmes filling in for Petro and Curtis. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can, at HomestretchKC. David Leske, Inside the Crown, joining us in studio as we take you up to the end of the hour. Make sure you follow Leske on Twitter at DB Leske, and make sure you go to Inside the Crown and subscribe. He does ticket giveaways. A lot of great stuff going on there.
20% off through, I don't know, tomorrow, today, something.
Whenever he feels like it. Not only that, it is the best Royals coverage you will get. I read it every single morning. I wake up in the morning, get a cup of coffee, roll over in bed, and I'll read your article. So just
so get, I get to wait. You wake up with
I
me.
Wake up with oh. Leske. You like
creepy.
That?
No.
You like it? Okay.
I don't.
I was trying to be.
I appreciate it. That's the last we need to discuss this.
I wake up with Lesky, and so can you. Check out Into the Crown. When it comes to the pitchers, I want to bring up something here. I know we don't have a ton of time. What have you seen from the organization and how they're handling the pitchers? Josh Staumont was used as an opener today. They've used, you know, Ryan Yarbrough a little bit off and on as far as second guy, you know, opening guy. Mike Myers pitched second, went six innings. What do you make of the Royals using an opener like this?
I think they look at it as a necessity, which the Rays do too. Like, let's be clear. The Rays use a bunch of openers. They went out and they supplemented their rotation. And they signed Zach Eflin. They traded for Drew Rasmussen a couple years ago. Like, all their moves were to get starters, and then they all got hurt. So,
yeah, Shane McClanahan.
Whatever. But a lot of it's necessity. But I think what's really interesting about the opener is that the Rays did this with Ryan Stanek, and it helped him to become a better late-inning reliever, to be able to kind of get on a schedule and gain some confidence. They did it with Carlos Hernandez. And he looked great in his two openers. He looked really good out of the bullpen the other day. He looks like a late inning guy now. And now they're trying to get Staumont back on track. And he looked really good today. You know, we'll see how it goes, I guess. But I think that they're doing the best they can with what they have at their disposal, because right now the depth is pretty thin. It's gotten better with Lynch coming back yesterday. And Keller might be back sometime soon.
Sure.
Which I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it's a thing.
I know we don't have a ton of time, so hit on Lynch really quickly.
Yeah.
What you think, what you saw, are you still intrigued by him?
Really interested. I'm a little bit worried about the velocity dip late in the game, but also he hadn't pitched. So, you know, big league games are different than minor league games, no matter how many pitches you've thrown. The slider was different. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the final numbers, but at one point his spin rate was up by about 300 RPMs. The velocity was up by a couple miles per hour. That's a different slider, which jives with the organization as a whole. They're willing to make changes. They're willing to do different things. Just on an organizational point, because I know we're real short, I had a scout text me on Saturday, Friday, whenever Frank Mozzicato pitched.
Yeah.
And what he said was, that was like watching a Dodgers prospect throw. And
that's what you want to hear.
And I was like, and I go, in what way? He goes, it was like watching a pitching clinic. They are doing this is my PSA to everybody. They are doing things differently. They didn't change out the people, except for at the very top, but they are very clearly doing things differently in the minors. Will it work? I don't know, because I don't have a crystal ball.
Surprising.
I should get one.
You should buy one.
I'm looking into it. I have a crystal ball guy.
Yeah,
I don't. He hasn't.
He's kind of charging you too much. You're not going to pay over what you should.
I pay a finder's fee already. I don't need to pay more. But what they're doing is different, and it's encouraging.
Nice. Before we get out of here, Memorial Day, this or that edition. All right, quickly go through these. Brought a burger.
Both.
Smart man. Mustard or ketchup?
Mustard on a brat. Ketchup on a burger.
Pool or lake?
Pool.
Scale of 1 to 10, how burnt do you get on Memorial Day weekend?
47, because I'm the whitest person on earth.
Country music or classic rock on Memorial Day weekend?
Classic rock.
Okay. And then finally, best porch drinking beer is?
Summer Shandy.
You and Verteram, wow, that's two. Two.
I love a summer shandy. It's so refreshing.
David Lesky. Follow me on Twitter at DB Lesky. Make sure you go to Inside the Crown. This was the program. Storyton Holmes filling in for Petro and Curtis. Until tomorrow, we are out.